From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The head of one of America's biggest financial management companies stepped down last weekend. E. Stanley O'Neill served as the CEO for Merrill Lynch for 6 years before retiring. O'Neill was one of only a few black CEOs ever to be appointed by a Fortune 500 company. And under O'Neill, Merrill Lynch made some investment moves that were pretty risky, even for a banking giant. So was O'Neill just being a responsible leader by stepping down, or did his race make him an easy target of Merrill's board of directors? Here to talk with me now about the career and legacy of E. Stanley O'Neill, we've got Alfred Edmond Jr. He's Senior Vice President and Editor-in-Chief of Black Enterprise. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing great. So I mentioned that O'Neill led the company into making some risky investment moves. Can you explain to me, simply, some of the decisions he made that might have led to this?
Well, it's important to understand that O'Neill didn't make these decisions in a vacuum. As you know, the whole nation is caught up in this kind of mortgage crisis in which a lot of financial institutions, including Merrill Lynch, invested in mortgage-backed securities. And now you see a lot of foreclosures and mortgage problems coming on, and that's having an impact on all the financial services companies. In fact, O'Neill is not the only executive who's had to step down in light of all of this, and there's probably going to be some more people. What basically happened is, I say that what O'Neill did wasn't really more risky than what anybody else was doing. But obviously, when you come up with an $8 billion loss, that has to be explained. The simple thing is this. Their original projection of a loss for this particular quarter was less than half of what it turned out to be. And that, I think, was the biggest deal. I don't think it was so much that he was doing more riskier deals than anyone else, but I think he sent a negative signal to shareholders and other people observing the company that if you say it's going to be one thing and it turns out to be twice as much, maybe it's worse than we think it is.
What does it mean to have had O'Neill at the head of this investment bank? What will it mean over time, if anything, that he will no longer be at the head of Merrill Lynch?
Well, it will mean anything that he will no longer be at the head. As I've said before, these aren't jobs that last a lifetime. He did a great job up until 2006 when everybody was benefiting from the boom and the growth in mortgages and investing in mortgage-backed securities. The tide obviously has turned in the past year. But I think the first 4 to 5 years of success as the head of Merrill Lynch is going to mean a lot more than this past year that resulted in him having to resign.
A lot more to whom?
To African Americans who are setting sights on what they can accomplish both on Wall Street and in corporate America as a whole. I mean, the reality is you got a former, cotton picker from Alabama rise to run for 5 years, one of the largest, most storied, Wall Street companies. And I think what that does is it sends a message to other aspiring African-Americans and other minorities that at least it's possible. And also we're learning some lessons about what it means to be a CEO. It's a high-risk, high-reward job. When you're doing well, we all know about CEO compensation and the huge bonuses that they get and the benefits and the perks, but it's also a high-risk job in that if you have a bad year or even a bad quarter, the axe can fall on you faster than it might fall on just a rank-and-file employee in the company.
How much do African-American CEOs influence the landscape of money and race? What I mean by that is, there are many occupations where black people are overrepresented and other ones where black people are underrepresented, including finance. If you have a black CEO, whether it's a Parsons, whether it's an O'Neill, does that mean that there's going to be a ripple effect of really looking at hiring strong black candidates throughout the company, or is that not necessarily the case?
Well, I think it varies from company to company, and the reality is, since there's still relatively few, it's hard to really draw conclusions about what the broader impact is. I mean, you're still talking about less than, even before Stanley O'Neill's resignation, less than 10, and say the Fortune 1000, that's 1%. So it's probably too early to tell in the history of America and in corporate America whether you can draw some broad conclusions about what it means to have a black CEO. I will say that if you look at from company to company, there are some impacts that a black CEO can have both intentionally and just symbolically. Again, if if you're at a company that has a black CEO running the company, it automatically sends a message to you as a person of color who may be striving in that company. Your perception is going to be that at least it's possible for me to advance in the company. It may not happen, but it's at least possible. I remember once I was interviewing the former chairman of Xerox, Dave Kearns, who is not black, he was white, but he was saying that, you know, most of the white men who get hired by a corporation are not going to end up becoming CEO, but the difference is that in their minds they have a belief that they can get there if they want to. And what we have to change is the perception among minorities that they can get there too. And I think when you look at O'Neill, when you look at Ken Chenault at American Express, when you look at Dick Parsons at Time Warner, when you look at somebody like Renetta McCann at Starcom, at least now you have enough faces in the place that a young person coming into corporate America could say, well, at least there's a possibility I can get there. And that's the biggest impact, I think.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Alfred Edmond Jr. is Senior Vice President and Editor-in-Chief of Black Enterprise.